This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Well, that doesn't sound confident, I realize. I'm just excited to have a friend over and hang out for a bit. Apparently get some fucking protein shake all over my flannel shirt that I have.
And your wife's tablecloth.
And my wife's white tablecloth, chocolate protein shake. Good stuff.
I'm proud of you.
Well, you know. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 205. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
You know what I didn't watch this week? Because my app kept failing? Legends. Was it a good episode?
I don't think it was on. It was not. Legends of Flash were not on this week. There was an episode of Supergirl and Batwoman, but I'm not even watching.
That's right. Legends of Flash weren't on, and I kept trying to watch. That's okay. No wonder. Well, that explains the struggle.
This app is failing me.
That explains the struggle. I'm like, why haven't they posted it yet? Oh, shit.
This is always the best part of the show, because it's always the part where you're like, guess what I didn't watch this week? And it's always like, fucking A. But well, this time,
it's good. We're good. We're all good then.
Don't worry, folks. We'll discover more later on.
Probably. All right.
Rookie was on.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
This is the one where Nolan had his identity stolen.
Yeah, got that all cleared up by the end of the episode, didn't they?
Yeah,
that
they
was,
did.
That was a smooth cleanup.
Well, okay. So, but the guy got his hand cut off. So, I mean, he's kind of like,
way to go.
I'll sign a affidavit that those comics I bought with your money, so you'll get it back straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was kind of one of those far-fetched episodes where Nolan has identity stolen, and not only does he discover who did it, but he's a master criminal. Not really a master criminal, but he's a good criminal. But he owes somebody money, and
he stole the identity of a Russian mob.
That's right. He stole the identity of some gangbanger who they kidnapped him. And they wanted his money back, and they cut his hand off, and on and on. I mean,
because his watch had a GPS in it. That's how cops were tracking.
It was really just like, I understand when you watch a show like a police procedural show, there's gonna be some over the top storylines in it, but this was a bit much.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like
because like he lost $170,000 out of that account because, you know, well, I never check that account except for every semester when I pay my kids' college tuition.
Yeah.
So now it says that I'm overdrawn. And I did like, though, that the Sarge was that basically pulled him aside and said, your credit score is bad. You need to fix it or you're drummed out of the program because cops with bad credit scores do bad things.
Oh, no, that's a reality. That's not just – I know, and I can tell you for the state of Maine, for Augusta Police and State Police, that's true not for just the patrolmen, but for dispatchers as well.
I believe it.
Because they'll do a credit check on you.
Yep.
They did one on you when you applied.
Yep.
I know people have gotten they're not been hired because of their credit. So it's a real thing.
Yep. So that's why I appreciated the fact that he actually brought that up.
Yeah.
May not be the most realistic cop show all the time, but they do throw in some stuff.
You know what? They have done some good things with what I usually call shenanigans.
Shenanigans!
If I hear everyone say, I'm going to pistol whip you. Hey, Farva, what's that fucked up place with all the crazy shit on the ceiling? Shenanigans? Oh!
Speaking of which, by the way, I'll get to that in a minute. So the Rookie.
Yes. Okay. The backstory in the Rookie was the captain. Oh, nice. The captain and Ortiz or whatever went off to the prison to the guy who murdered the captain's partner 10 years ago.
Lopez.
Thank you. Lopez's first day on the job, and this other officer died in her arms. That's kind of,
it was the captain's partner.
A bad first day.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're going to the prison because the guy who murdered him is up for parole, and of course they want to speak against him.
Yep.
But then, of course, you know, the moment happens where the guy's like, hey, I've been trying to turn my life around, and I know what I did was wrong, and I was messed up that day on drugs, and I don't even remember it.
Going to jail saved my life.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
My teenage son that I've taught to throw a ball around.
Yeah.
He's excited for me to come home.
And you think, oh, well, the captain's going to go in and say, like, yeah, I think he should be let go, and then they're going to let him go. Well, instead, they go in, and Lopez says, no, he shouldn't be let go. And the captain's like, you know, I came in here thinking it should be let go. But of course, oh, and then Lopez tells him his partner was drunk the night he was murdered.
Right.
She could smell alcohol on him. But, you know, he's like, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say, because, you know, my partner had trouble and you had trouble. But, like, if you do get a second chance, you'd be damn sure to take advantage of it and teach that kid the right thing to do and own up to your mistakes and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So I thought that was good. And then he still didn't get paroled.
Right.
So it's kind of like, oh, that's different. Because normally, you know, he'd be paroled and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So. It's a good episode otherwise.
What was going on with Bradford again? Oh, yeah.
He was
the father of his girlfriend.
That was
Was the chief of police in a Mayberry kind of town, what's her name there? His boot didn't know what Mayberry was.
Right.
And
oh, my town, we all knew our criminals.
It was like five of them.
Bradford's like, sir, this is a population of like 50 million.
Yeah.
We're not going to know everybody.
Right.
Well, if you were a good cop, you would. Fuck you, buddy.
Right. Like, exactly. You know, no disrespect, sir, but fuck you in the ass.
Yeah.
Hick Mayberry mentality. Wow, that was an amazing face. Mike just chugged down some of his protein shake and then just snorted. And, wow.
I had surgery, and I have to eat between 80 and 100 grams of protein a day. And I can't consume that much food because my stomach's 2 ounces.
Right.
So I have to drink these god-awful protein shakes because if I don't, then I inhibit it. Getting the protein in helps me lose weight.
Right.
Because it will stop me from losing weight and also lose muscle mass. So I have to do this. But I have to find an alternative to just this. Because even though I'm only sucking down, you know, 2 of these a day, which gives me 60, and then I can consume the rest, you know, to get between that 80 and 100, I can. And sometimes I eat just like one scoop, so it's only 15, so then I'm up to, you know, 75. And one scoop is better than two, but I'd rather not have, because it tastes like less like shit, is what I mean.
Right.
But I'd rather not drink, you know, 5 of these a day as opposed to, yeah.
What brand is it?
It's Premier Protein.
Okay.
And
I thought you liked the premix stuff.
I'm tired of all of it. I was before surgery. You want to know why? Because before surgery, I'd make them, I just chug them right down, you know, and drink them really fast. And so I didn't really taste it that much, or it was like a little like, ooh, a little aftertaste, but it's fine. Well, now I have to drink them slowly. And when you drink them slowly, you really have to taste them, and they taste bad, you know, like jalapeno poppers.
So. Huh.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. The other thing is I got this whole, like, before surgery, I really liked the chocolate. So I have like a brand new thing of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to finish it and then maybe I'll buy another flavor because it's expensive. I don't want it to go to waste.
Right.
So that's the other thing. So I'm kind of forcing myself to eat just because I don't want it to go to waste.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bradford's girlfriend's got Huntington disease.
Might have.
And
wasn't this the same thing that happened on House?
Yeah.
Like, might have it because a parent had it.
Right.
Doesn't want to test herself because if I find out I have it, then it's just bad news because, you know, there's no cure.
Right.
So.
It's like my yeah. And so the dad's like, well, you can't, you know, like, I don't want you there. The dad basically tells Bradford, you don't have my blessing to date my daughter because you can't take care of her. You know, plus she's going to, you know, there's a chance she could get sick and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, but Bradford's like, nah, I'm all in.
So. Giggity.
It's not a sex joke, but it makes it sound like a sex joke.
So, yeah, you mentioned Steve Lemmy and what's his name there? Eric Heffernan.
Yes.
Tacoma FD came back this week.
Yeah.
Still a great show. It's a fun little half hour. This one was all about gambling. You know, they got their paychecks and they all gamble on everything from, you know, the horse races that one of them bets on because he likes the names. He picks out the name that he likes the most. And then everything else that they could possibly bet on, they were betting. And it was fun. I enjoy the show. I enjoy the characters. And, yep, good times.
Nice. Was New Amsterdam was not on this week.
Correct.
Is that show done for the season?
Well, it's like a lot of those other shows where, like, it's not on right now and they've kind of delayed some episodes. I don't know if we'll get another one soon, but there were a couple of them that ended this week.
We got the This Is Us finale.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Strangers Part 2.
There was a lot to it. It was very intense in some places.
So, all right. We meet the guy with the horse on the farm.
Yep.
And his daughter.
Yep.
And it turns out he's a doctor.
Yes.
Who is there for blonde girl. What's her name?
Madison.
Madison.
He's Madison's OBGYN.
Why the hell? Like, I know they'll explain it eventually, but why are we meeting him and his daughter?
My mother has a theory.
Okay, go. Because I couldn't figure that out. It's
an interesting theory.
All right.
The third triplet didn't die.
Oh, shut up.
Remember how the doctor had that whole sob story about how he lost his first kid?
Yes.
His wife was sad, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. She thinks that this could be the third triplet.
Why?
Because they had three kids, and he said, well, I'll take one of them and give it to...
Then that would make Gerald McCraney the biggest bastard on the planet.
Isn't he, though?
No. Not in this show. He's the lovable go-to guy, you know?
He had that tender moment at the end where he was singing the song and looking at the picture on his desk.
It was touching.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Because then why would he be like, well, I took away one of your children. Take this one instead.
And it could just be, okay, think about this.
I mean, no, I appreciate your mom's theory. I'm just like, gosh, I hope not.
Jennifer Goodwin there. You know, she was introduced in Strangers. So was Malik. And then they both kind of became footnotes. And they each got like a cameo in this episode.
Well, and we saw them a little bit in the season. But yeah, they for the last several episodes, they've disappeared. And
so it could be that that's all this person is. You know, maybe he's just another footnote type person.
It just seems weird that they introduced him and his daughter pretty extensively just for... I think I just thought of something.
Okay. What did you just thought of?
The doctor learns a lesson from his daughter over how to treat the horse because, you know, oh, you're not letting it be itself and this and that. Mm-hmm. And then that's the same exact advice he mutters to Madison, which then forces her. So it could be they did all that as a throwaway just so he had that sage advice to give.
Could be.
I don't know. But we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Madison does go over to tell Kevin. But, of course, in the interim, Kevin and Randall are having their big fight.
Yeah. This was a very intense, heavy episode. There was a lot of shit. We got to meet Haley, was the other new person. She's an art dealer. You know, she runs a gallery, and she's got a nerdy guy behind the counter who wants to get with her, and she's just like, dude, fuck off. Apparently she had a one-time date with a movie star.
And, of course, it's alluding that it's Kevin
right.
the whole time. And she's to this nerd guy. She's like, look, we're great friends, and I want to be friends. A relationship would ruin it. And besides, it's just, no, it's not happening.
Yeah. So flash forward, we discover that, you know, she is actually the kid that Toby and Kate decide to adopt.
Yes.
That becomes Jack's sister.
Yes, because Toby and Kate go to the NICU. And to put Jack's picture up on the board because he's one.
Yep.
And Toby's like, let's have another kid. And
he phrases it very well. He basically says, you know, you guys had all this stuff growing up. And, you know, you had the brother-sister thing. Now you've still got it. Doesn't he deserve somebody like that in his life?
Which I get completely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
Plus, only children tend to be assholes for the most part.
Right. I have several siblings. I've had some former step siblings. I have current half brother. I have two other half brothers. My dad adopted and everything. And quite frankly, I'm closer to you than I am any of them, you know? And so it's a weird dichotomy I've explained where I grew up with a bunch of different siblings, but not really.
Yeah.
And I'm not really close to any of them because it's just how it worked out.
Right.
Which is unfortunate.
Yep.
But yeah, I get where he's coming from.
Yeah, so he basically says Jack deserves that. So they're scrolling through pictures and we discover, you know, this, what's her name again?
Haley.
Haley.
We see the interaction of them, their story, them talking about it, and we keep cutting to her. And then, like, she gets a phone call and just runs right out of there.
Because Jack's baby is coming.
Yes, Jack's wife's water finally broke.
This is Jack of the future.
Yes.
And, and she goes into the hospital room, and Jack's like, oh, no, that's my sister. And that's when we see them scrolling through the phone.
So clearly they adopt, and it's Haley, and so Jack has a younger sister.
Yep.
And Jack's baby they name Hope.
Yep.
I kept thinking they were going to say Rebecca.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
But I don't even know if Jack was old enough to know his grandmother. Probably he was, actually.
Yeah, because Kevin's kids had to be, like 7, 8 years old?
Because that's the other thing. Madison tells him, I'm pregnant, and then he has to go outside. I'm not walking away. I just need to go outside. I'll be right back. And that's when Randall comes back.
He just had to deal with all that stuff.
Yes.
With Randall, discovering what Randall did to his mom. And,
yep.
You know, so he's got all that, and she's just like, I want to be straight with you. I'm glad they didn't save that till the next season.
Me too.
But as somebody who has gotten a similar text message at one point, it's a heavy, heavy thing to have hit you. And when you've already got something else going on that's big like that with your mom and your brother and everything, and then to have something like that, you know, that was the proper response, was to just say, I'm not walking away. I just need to go, like, get some air. So I get that. And then, of course, he goes out to get some air, and Randall's like, you know what? We're going to fight now. We're gonna wrestle, you know.
Yeah.
Basically have our verbal sparring. And Kevin's like, no, not right now.
I got to
it. And he's like, no, we're going to do it.
I think Kevin said some shit that he should have said. Somebody should have said a long time ago to Randall.
Yeah.
Except the thing at the end.
And then Randall pulled some shit out of his ass that was literally just meant to hurt Kevin. Mm-hmm. You know, Dad died disappointed in you.
Ashamed of you.
He was always ashamed of you. He was proud of me and ashamed of you, which there is no way that is true. Jack loved all of his kids.
Yeah.
Evenly.
I don't.
No matter what.
I don't believe that for a second that he died ashamed of him.
No.
And then Kevin said, you know, I always thought the worst day of my life was when Dad died, but my worst day of my life is when they brought you home.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And then followed it up with, you know, hand to God, worst day of my entire life, day they brought you home.
I did like the fact when Kevin and Randall started getting into it, and Beth is just like, Rebecca, let's get the kids, let's go.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, no, Rebecca. Let's get the kids and let's go. Miguel, we're leaving. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and they all leave.
Because she was smart. Yeah. You know, she knew that they had to have it out and that nobody else should be around for this. Let's let them do this and let's get the fuck out of Dodge.
Exactly.
Which, kudos to her.
And that was one thing that Randall had said to Kevin, which was like, you never finish anything. You always think of yourself, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Which then leads him to walking back in and Madison basically saying, like, you know, I'd rather you, I'm doing this. I don't care. I'll do it on my own. I just want you to be aware of what is happening.
Yeah.
I want you to know, but I'm doing this regardless if you're there or not. Da, 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 da. And then Kevin's like, no, I'm all in. I'm going to be all in. He does his little speech thing because I'm going to love that kid. And she goes, kids. Because there's twins. So, of course, we flash forward to the future now. And there's Rebecca's in her bed, old, obviously. And Kevin, Randall's standing at the foot of the bed. Oh, no. Nikki's sitting next to the bed. And Kevin walks in. And Nikki stands up and hugs him. The only thing I've noticed, Nikki had a wedding ring on.
Mm.
And then you see Kevin has a wedding ring on. And then Randall walks in. You know, and they look at each other and nod. And then both of Kevin's kids run in.
Yep. Well, first his son does.
Yes.
And then she says twins.
Twins. And then the daughter runs in. Yeah. And then they kind of leave or whatever. They go talk to their grandmother or something. And then, like, Kevin and Randall put their arms. So it shows, all right, they did eventually reconcile.
Well, to some extent. I mean, he just kind of put his hand up on his shoulder.
Yeah.
We did get to see, like I said, brief cameos. We got to see Malik and Deja,
yeah,
you know, saying goodbye because she had to travel.
And Malik was like, "You're just afraid to fly." He said, "Go on an airplane flight."
Yeah.
Well, he said it was just weird.
Yeah.
An airplane flight. Well, that
dude, have you seen his earrings?
I mean, yeah, that's true. All right. Weird. Fair enough.
Cassie showed up to Nikki's trailer to take him to a meeting.
And it was, and Kevin was 1 year sober because Nikki had texted him.
Yep. And we saw Sophie briefly see the Kevin nipple poster.
Yes, the cologne ad. Yes.
So they just had to remind us that, you know, she's
still around.
Yeah.
She's lurking.
Now, here's my big question. Sure. Out of all this,
yeah,
in both future scenarios, okay, yeah, with Jack's daughter Hope being born,
yeah,
and with Rebecca laying in the bed,
yeah,
where's Kate?
Here's the thing. We haven't seen Kate in any of the future scenarios.
Any of them.
We've seen Toby. They've talked about Kate. Are you sure Kate wants me here? Or, you know, are you sure she wants me here? Didn't say who, just she. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the actress playing Kate is going under weight loss surgery or doing something.
Maybe.
Because they don't want to show, like, a future version of her overweight if she's going to lose weight here.
Right.
Or maybe she's dead.
That's what I'm wondering. Because those are two pretty big things.
Yeah.
For Kate not to be there.
Yeah.
You know, the birth of her grandchild,
yeah,
her first grandchild, nowhere near there. Like, Toby's not in the room. Nobody's mentioned Toby or anything, yeah, like that. Nobody's, I got to call my mom or I got to call my dad and let them know.
Yeah.
Got his sister in there, but we don't see mom or dad.
Right.
And then Rebecca laying in bed, those two, you know, Randall and Kevin actually showing up together.
But Kate's not there.
Yeah.
And we've seen this. We've seen this whole buildup to them being at the house over, I think, even the end of the previous season.
Yes.
Because Nikki was next to Rebecca's bed then.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, you know, Toby. And we've seen, we saw even saw Miguel, I, yep, think. We saw Toby. No, we didn't see Miguel. We saw Toby. We saw Beth.
Right, Beth. Yeah.
And they all went there. We saw, right, Beth and Randall's kids.
Yep.
We saw Kevin's son the whole time. We didn't see his daughter till this first time. You know, they talked about, hey, where's your mom? Oh, she's blah, blah, blah. Or she's, you know what I mean? Like, she's been mentioned. But we never saw Kate. No mention of Kate. No sight of Kate. And it would make sense, I guess, for Toby saying, oh, does she even want me there? Because, you know, maybe Kate passed away and she doesn't, and Rebecca doesn't even know who Toby is.
Right.
That's interesting. I wonder if Kate is dead.
We've got at least two more seasons on the books.
Yeah, two more seasons of 18 episodes each to play the story out.
That's just what they've renewed for so far.
I hated the episode of Randall's what-if life.
Well, let me ask you this, because, yeah, this was what I was thinking going through the episode. You hated Randall before.
Yeah.
How much more did you hate him now?
Oh, yeah.
This episode?
Yeah.
Wow,
even
what
more.
A piece of... Even my mom was like, what a piece of shit.
Oh, wow.
What human garbage. I'm like, yeah, I
wow,
could go with you on that.
That's pretty...
You know, to invoke the...
pretty damning coming from your mom.
Our dead dad was disappointed in you. He hated you. Yeah, wow. That's pretty fucked up. Just couldn't take it, huh? Gotta, yeah, switch shirts.
Well, I was chilly, but the shirt was wet and bothering my hands.
Plus, now, you know, the orange with the orange goes better.
Yeah, like, no one can see it, so who cares? But it's also a thicker, heavier flannel, so it's warmer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that was the end of This Is Us. What was the other show that ended?
I'm trying to remember, because I know
was it just we watched the rest of October Faction?
We did watch the rest, yeah, of October Faction, but I feel like there was something else that ended.
Oh, The Good Doctor, I think, had its season finale, but I wasn't watching it.
Yeah, I wasn't either. Oh, Stumptown.
Oh, that was the season finale?
That was the season,
okay,
finale.
All right.
All hands on decks.
Yeah, she gets, well, of course, the way the last episode ended, where she walks in on the dead guy. Mm-hmm. She's been set up for murder. And this season, Hoffman gets his dad to defend her. Yeah, take the case. But long and the short of it, they were stealing the Benny's army buddies basically robbed an armored vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And stole shit tons of money.
Yep.
It wasn't...
It was meant to be relief funds.
Yeah, relief funds. And...
They stole it, covered it up, and Benny wanted nothing to do with it, so he was going to report them.
Yep. And so they basically set him up to die for it.
And their sergeant, she goes to see him, yeah. and he is going through and cleaning house and killing off all the others so that it can't be traced back.
Yeah, because initially he's like blaming himself for Benny's death because it was my fault because he told me and I didn't report him and this and that and everything. And I can't tell you who's involved. They'll kill me and this and that and all this stuff. But it was, in the end, it was him the whole time.
Right.
We find out another guy who's now a priest. And he has the money, and Dex chases him down. He ends up getting killed, but we don't know how. Well, you know, we don't know who. We don't off see screen. It. It's killed, thank you, off screen. Hoffman, he basically quits being a cop at the end.
Yeah.
Because he knew some information he didn't disclose.
Yep.
And he basically, what he says is like, look, he felt compromised from every angle. His friendship with Dex, his friendship with other people, his duty as a police officer, on and on and on. And he just felt compromised from every angle, so he decides, that's it, I'm done.
Right. And, well, she had told him, too.
Yeah.
She was like, they want suspension without pay. You know, they were pissed that he fucked up the thing. She's like, they want suspension. He goes, here, take it.
Yeah.
But then, at the end, he goes, just, what did he say? It was something like, keep it warm for me, or
something know. Like that, yeah. So, Ansel breaks up with his girlfriend.
Well, she broke up with him.
She broke up with him, and essentially, Tuki helps Ansel and they trick Dex into thinking that his girlfriend's coming over for dinner. Is he trying to get back with her?
I think legitimately, he thought that the kid that she was coming over. I think that legitimately, they
Tuki or Ansel.
Both.
Oh.
Because Ansel came running down the stairs. He's like, "She's here! She's here!"
Well, they open the door, and Dex goes, "Mom." So we don't see, other than blonde hair, we don't see her.
Yeah, which of course is a smart thing to do because they basically, you know, they can cast any actress now as mom for next season.
Yeah.
They didn't have to tie somebody in.
What else? Oh, it turns out that Gray's dad is still in the game.
Yep.
He was supposed to be there for some baseball tournament, no-showed him, and then he shows up now and wants to hang out for a few days, and then he just cuts town and... And some guy shows up next to Gray's bedside like, hey, your dad did a job for us. And he took something that didn't belong to him and he cut town.
And now you're going to help us find him.
Hey, I like Gray just smiling like, what the fuck? I can't get back.
Yeah.
I can't get out of this shit.
Yep. This is what I get for letting him back in my life.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
It was. And a good season finale.
Has this been renewed?
I don't know.
I don't think it has yet. I hope it does.
Yeah. Schooled?
I watched it, but what was it about?
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, parent-teacher conference.
Oh, God. CB, of course, goes way over the top with the Hawaiian theme. And
what's her name? The science teacher.
Wilma,
your child is a joy to have in class. Da-da-da-da-da. To everybody.
Joshua's been making progress, and he's a joy to have in class. Stacy's been making progress, and she's a joy to have in class. And then at the end, she's just like, but, you know, that comes with a cost. And she's screaming. Oh, my God, my fire.
Yeah. Meller making the parents do push-ups and sit-ups. No wonder your child's such a poor – he's got bad genetics. I thought that was pretty great.
That was awesome.
Oh, I got really annoyed with the board member deciding he's going to become the principal again and kicks Glassman out and Glassman. You know, that wouldn't happen.
No, that would not happen. There's no way. In fact, the first time they went to the board and said, we want to have a garden and, you know, can you give it? And the board unanimously said, yes, you're right. The board would have been involved with all of that. They would have said, no, the principal doesn't get, you don't get to walk in off the street and just declare
yourself. You know, just because you're on the board doesn't mean, well, I got you this job. Yeah, like 12 years ago. I don't owe you anything. Yeah, it was that part annoyed me. Otherwise, I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah. I don't know if that was the finale or not.
I don't know. There's so many shows that could be the finale or they stopped filming because of this COVID-19 or...
Yeah. There was an episode of Superstore. Carol's back.
I gave up watching it.
Carol's back, and apparently she's crazy, as we saw. And
we already know this.
So she's kind of – she can't be touched. She gets to kind of do what she wants, and everybody, like, has to – nobody wants to work with her. But, you know, she says she'll call HR if she's feeling threatened. That's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah. Not much else.
Yeah.
So October Faction.
October Faction. We had two episodes to watch.
It's been canceled.
Oh, has it?
Yep. V-Wars and October Faction have both been canceled.
But Lock and Key's getting a second season.
Second season I won't be watching. Oh, yeah, I just got – I just, like – I made the note a little while ago, like an hour ago, and it said, like, the message was, like, 3 hours ago it was posted. So it just canceled today.
Why?
I don't know.
I actually thought it was a pretty solid end of the season.
No, I thought October Faction was good, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, essentially, the twins and their mother, real mother, they go to the fun fair, I guess, or whatever you want to call it there. With all the seniors.
Yeah. Not senior citizens.
No. But so Jeff Allen goes in and basically says, cuts a promo on everyone, telling everyone their darkest secrets to piss everyone off, apparently. Reasons, I don't know. Then there's a big fight. And then the quarterback with the injured arm comes forward and the Jeff's sister there, Viv, accuses him of trying to rape her. And she's like, oh, he's like, oh, horse shit. And then, like, five other girls step forward. So, of course, he's still in denial going, like, I didn't do anything. You all wanted it. And runs off.
Yep.
But in the meantime, while all this is going on, their mother is walking around doing that pentagram design in the field, burning it in, but no one can see it.
Right.
And essentially, she uses the ashes and then casts a spell and brings the souls of all the warlocks killed in Harlow back. But they're now inhabiting the bodies of all these people that were there,
mm-hmm.
which many of them have huge issues with.
Oh, yeah.
This is not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, this is supposed to be, like, if anything, a union, you know,
yeah.
an agreement where we
yes.
talk to the person first.
And the person agrees to be taken over as a host, essentially.
Yeah, this was a forced.
Yeah. And then, of course, Presidio shows up, kills a bunch of people. Jeff and Viv's dad apparently gets killed, but then we see him in the Purgatory.
Yeah.
And they allude that he's going to be coming back, but we never see him again.
And now we won't since it's been canceled.
Yeah, and now we won't. Yeah. It turns out that the guy with the robot eye that we keep seeing was a death row inmate serial killer who had donated, who said he would be a guinea pig of these experiments to try and make up for what he did.
Right.
And essentially, Grandpa Allen there, he somehow puts their dead son's soul into this person's body.
Yep.
Using the warlock ashes and that symbol on the floor.
Right.
And yeah, it's kind of weird.
By the end, basically fake mom and real mom.
Yep.
Work together to get away from Presidio, protect the kids, and essentially form an alliance.
Yeah, and fake mom, if you will, is basically like, look, I can protect them. You can't.
Right.
They're going to hunt you forever. They're not going to hunt me because, well, A, they just killed the head of Presidio. And so, you know, on the board, the highest ranking acting member of the board is my mother-in-law.
Right.
And you know she'll become the new leader, and she's not going to do anything to hurt her grandkids.
Exactly.
Or me. So, and especially seeing how that, you know, Presidio just killed her son. So the warlock mom agrees. Yep, you're right. And the twins seem okay with it. But they also kind of apologize to her because they're like, we were confused, we were angry, we didn't know what to do. You know, she is our birth mom. We were just, and all is forgiven. And it seems like the show ends with kids in the house, in the mansion, mom's in the mansion. Everyone seems happy, you know. Jeff's like FaceTiming his boyfriend and they're cooking and Viv's doing her thing and mom's all happy. And then we cut to the basement. Some monster's banging some chain down door that they haven't seen all season.
Right.
But that's how it ends. So I don't know. I thought it was a good couple of episodes. I thought overall they told a good story.
They did.
It got a little convoluted
little.
At times. some pretty big holes at the end where Presidio's taking over the town and the sheriff and the vampire and her, somehow her two cops take back the town rather quickly by killing a few people.
Yeah.
Like, because that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
It was the same way where a couple episodes back, Presidio went into that town to, you know, kill all the monsters. And, you know, mom is walking behind them, like 3 feet behind them.
Yes, exactly.
Plain view of everybody.
And, yeah. And she goes and births twins.
Yeah. And nobody saw it.
Yeah.
It was just like, whatever.
Well, we do see more of the story there where a Presidio person was going to kill the babies.
Yeah.
And fake mom killed him. Mm-hmm. And then basically her and dad just like, look, we need to raise these kids. Conveniently enough, they're mulatto. I'm black and you're white.
Yep.
We can hide this. And that's essentially what they did.
Yep.
So they left town, disappeared to go take assignments afar, and then apparently faked a pregnancy and faked some birth and bada boom, bada bing. But the show's been canceled forever. So that's
sad.
That.
That's sad.
Kind of is, yeah. I got an episode of Westworld to talk about and two episodes of Hunters. What else do you have to talk about?
Blacklist.
And Blacklist.
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
That too.
Okay, then I'll throw out finishing up this season of Kidding.
Oh yeah.
Holy Jesus, this show is a downer. This is not the kind of thing to watch if you're feeling down, sad, depressed, anything like that. Like, it is dark. The most recent one, his father, who's been running the show, it was this weird thing where Annette O'Toole was on the show, and we got this weird episode where Jeff was a bartender, and you're like, why is he a bartender? He's a kids show host. He was volunteering at this very interesting retirement community kind of thing where everything is the way that it was back in like the 30s or 40s. So like they have TV programs that aired back then. They have, you know, Eisenhower paraphernalia, you know, basically it's like the whole place is encapsulated in time. They even have a bench at a bus stop, air quotes, where, you know, they say whenever somebody gets frustrated with living there, they go out and they sit there and wait for the bus to take them home. And then eventually they just forget because they're all old people and they have dementia and stuff like that. So one of the people that was there was Annette O'Toole. She was grumpy, treated Jeff like shit, you know, but he talked to her a little bit and kind of made friends with her. Meanwhile, his dad met a woman, also played by Annette O'Toole,
mm-hmm.
and went on dates with her and started talking about how much he loved her and how great she was. And then it was the weirdest thing because he went on like 3 or 4 dates, and then like they did this pan across, and when they came back around, it wasn't Annette O'Toole. It was like this young black guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's like this 70-year-old man who, it turns out he had a stroke. He didn't realize he had a stroke, but he had a stroke. So he's seeing this young black guy as Annette O'Toole. And the reason that that becomes significant is because it turns out that Annette O'Toole, who is hanging out at this rest home because, you know, she's got dementia, is Jeff's mother and his original wife. So then it becomes even darker. And then this episode was even darker still because he had a second stroke, and now he has complete dementia, doesn't know where he is, what he's doing, so they take him to the retirement home as well. So now these two, who used to be husband and wife, who birthed both of these kids, are living in a retirement home together with no idea who each other is. It's really
dark. That's really dark.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
Like watching the two of them sitting out on a bus stop bench, the bus will never come. You know, because it's fake. And she's like, I'm going home. And he's introducing himself. And they start, like, having this little banter back and forth. And they're like, you know, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? You know, like, flirting, but, like, aggressive old people style. And then, because this is a very surreal, weird show, at the end of the episode, they're sitting there. And a bus shows up. And they get on it and drive away. Very weird. Okay. I still like the show, but it's really dark.
That's really weird,
really surreal.
Yeah.
Black Monday is still a fun show. I'm not even going to go into that.
Black Monday. Hold on. What's that one about?
Don Cheadle. Remember the
Stock market. Yes.
Still
yes.
Really, really good. They had a twist in this episode that was just really cool. Paradise PD, I'm still watching. It's gotten better. That first episode was a little rocky, but it is funny again. I watched two new shows that are on Hulu right now.
Okay.
One of them you've probably seen show up on the front page a lot, Little Fires Everywhere.
Yeah, I have, and Kate's cousins asked her if she's watched it, says it's good.
Don't watch it.
Thank God. Okay.
Yeah. It's drama.
It looks it.
Drama. Reese Witherspoon is the rich, waspy woman. Josh, whatever, the son from Fringe.
Sure.
He's her husband. Almost didn't recognize him at first because he has aged. But they have four kids. You know, three of them are the perfect preppy Aryan little bastards that, you know, they're all going to college. Oh, dude, they're like blonde hair, blue eye. You know, we're perfect in every way. And then the youngest is a little monster, rebelling against everything. The show opens on their mansion burning.
Yeah.
And they want to question the youngest. And then we get the 4 months earlier, and that's where the show picks up. And then Kerry Washington is a woman who is living in her car with her daughter because they bounce from place to place because mom's an artist. And, you know, she goes to a place where she thinks that, you know, this is where she'll get her best inspiration. And she works on projects for a little while, and then they move on again. So it's drama. You wouldn't like it.
What's the other new show?
I mean, This Is Us is drama, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, you know,
it's
storyline. Yeah,
this one is more creepy and just drama for the sake of drama. So anyway, the other one I think you might actually like.
What is it?
So far, it's one episode in. It's called Motherland, and then it's got like a subtitle. But basically, it's an alternative reality where the Salem witch trials didn't happen.
Oh.
Because when they first started to happen, the head witch went to the constabulary and said, "Here's the thing. You protect my people. We are witches. You protect my people. You hold us in high regard. And in return, we will win every war for you." And now it's modern times, and the witches are the army.
Huh.
And the United States looks a lot different. There's a big gash down the middle of it where, you know, some people seceded and some people didn't. The Eastern Seaboard, they didn't. Salem is now the head. It's Fort Salem. And that's where they, you know, when girls come of age, they get a little calling because it's bloodline. So they get a calling, they recite an oath, and they are taken to this military school. And it's kind of cool.
Huh.
I mean, it's a freeform show, which normally I'd stay away from, but I love Cloak and Dagger.
Let's say Cloak and Dagger. That's my, my freeform, like, well, Cloak and Dagger is great, and that was on Freeform.
Exactly. there's a, oh God, what are they called? There's a terrorist organization out there of witches who are causing people to do things like mass suicide in a mall, just all throw themselves off the top of it, mass suicide on a cruise ship. And their goal is to take down the hierarchy of, you know, the military industrial complex. The head witch, by the way, is still alive. So she's 300 plus years old. Yeah, it's decent.
Does she look aged?
No.
Okay. Just looks the same.
Yep. I am enjoying it. I've only watched one episode so far, but yeah, you may want to check it out. It's called Motherland.
There was a new show on Sci-Fi I want to check out.
What's that?
I can't think of the title now. I wrote it down earlier, but I don't have that notebook.
Okay.
Readily available.
You got that notebook.
I know, but it was in my laptop bag.
Here's your laptop bag.
Nice.
I didn't want to sit on it because it had a laptop in it, I assume.
It's my work laptop, too.
Yeah, so then I really don't want to sit on it because all that work that you don't have to do from home.
Hey, you know what?
You know what?
Not even.
I was playing a game with a friend of mine the other night, and I actually had to bring him up because we were talking about something. And I can't remember how it came up, but I had to relate the story of Eric. And the, you know what? He was talking about Tool.
Not even.
He was asking me, he's like, "Tool just had a new album. Do you like them?" And I was like, "Let me tell you about my experience with Tool." An 89-pound Canadian skateboarder.
It's on a different notebook. After I left at work, yeah.
Stalling for time. And
anyways, but yeah. Go see Clutch. I'm going to get my fucking nose broken.
You know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? Not even. Because you know what? none of them will get that.
And I haven't seen him in over 20 years.
Nope, me either. I think I was friends with him on Facebook once. He messaged me one time.
You guys went to dinner like 10 years ago,
I think. It was like Dunkin' Donuts because I was still with Maddie at the time. So it was more than 10 years.
Yeah, more than 10.
Out of the blue, he's just like, I'm driving up to Canada. I'm coming through Augusta. You want to meet for a coffee? I'm like, fuck, of course I do. I mean, I haven't seen you in like a decade.
Vagrant Queen. Ooh, 3.6 IMDb. Commercial looked good. Former child queen Alita and her old friend of me, Isaac, and Optimus. Ah, fuck it.
Child queen?
Yeah, it just premiered in the debut episode. They gave it a 3.6.
Ouch. And you know that's probably fairly accurate because right now, what else do people have to do than sit at home and watch TV?
Well, I mean, seriously, though, but that so many streaming services are giving huge deals or extended free promos or whatever because they know people have nothing to do but sit home and watch TV. Freaking Kenner just put a bunch of original G.I. Joe on YouTube.
Hasbro.
Well, yeah. On YouTube. Thank you so much, by the way.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, Mike needs to know.
You sent me that link. Well, goodbye, world. I'm done burning through this. But yeah.
It's the same with the gaming community. You know, there's a lot of sites out there that are giving away free games. A lot of publishers are giving away some of their games free.
Yeah.
Square just released Final Fantasy VII Remake early in Europe and Australia because they knew that they were going to have delays. It's supposed to come out on April 10th, but.
Well, speaking of April 10th, because I saw this tonight, Trolls Worldwide is supposed to come out in theaters in April. They didn't push it back. Still coming out in theaters April 10th or on demand. So you can get it on
theaters.
If there's any that are open, I guess. Drive-ins. But it's coming out on demand. So you can still get it on demand if you want.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's... It's going to be so weird when this all goes back to normal, which I guess I don't want to go back to normal because obviously we're pretty fucking broken if this happened.
Yeah.
But when people start getting back into their regular routine of going to work every day and being able to go out in public and things are open and all, it's going to be weird. It's going to feel weird.
It already feels weird.
I know, but it's going to feel more weird than school gets out in June and now you go back in September. How weird and adjusting those first couple weeks are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zoe's extraordinary playlist.
Yes.
Zoe decides to come clean to Max, tell her about her powers.
Well,
and by doing that, to try to prove that she's got these powers, she's going to say, well, I've known you've loved me forever. I just haven't said anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work. What a surprise.
I love the fact
that. I am shocked.
I love the fact that the whole reason she came clean to him was because he organized a flash mob to sing to her. And she thought that it was just one of her hallucinations. And she's like, oh, wait, you could talk to me? Because she said something to him. And he's like, no, not right now. And she's like, wait, you can talk to me in these things? Oh, this is new. And he's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And then, like, everybody's clapping. And she's like, oh, God, you did this. Okay, we get to talk. Yeah, I've known for months that you've loved me. Wait, and you did nothing about it? Well, yeah, because I didn't know if I wanted to go down that path. Well, then you just made a decision. Oh, so instead you pushed Amber on me.
Right.
Or Autumn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
mean, she's able to save their friendship, but there's no way they're going to be in a relationship according to Max. But then again, let's be honest, okay? In a week, he'll be like, fuck it. I want to put a penis in her. I've always wanted to. I have a chance to. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. Because she shut it down, too. She was like, I need a friend in my life with everything that's going on with my dad, everything that's going on at work. I can't do this. And she was very honest about saying, you know, I don't want to lose you as a friend. He's like, well, what if it becomes better? She's like, I can't take that risk right now. Yeah, no. I cannot.
He's on the hook.
Yep.
He's on the hook still. There's still a chance.
Yep.
There's still a chance. He's like, well, I got my foot in the door.
Dad got a live-at-home nurse.
Yeah, but that didn't work out.
I knew that it was going to be the other guy because I'm like, oh, look, he's kind of he's not really a famous actor, but, you know, he had a big thing.
He's recognizable.
Revolution.
Yeah.
So, because he's the one that did it all. But, yeah, when
right.
when he was just like, you know, yeah, I want to do what he wants. because it's important that he be happy. And then, you know, the other nurse there, she's like, I will take care of him and I will do what's best for him. And, oh, yeah. You want his blood sugar to spike by giving him a chocolate shake. The other guy's like, I'll go get him a chocolate shake, but I'm going to sneak some spinach in it, too.
Yeah. So, of course, they hire her. And then when that doesn't work out, they fire her. And then they hire the, you know, laid back fella.
Because that's what Dad wants.
Yep, that is what Dad wants.
He wants a buddy.
Oh, and then Leaf and Joan kiss? What the fuck was up with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I did like the whole, you know, his buddy there feeling the heartbreak of,
yeah,
you know. What was it? It was the celebration of the spelling bee?
Yeah, something like that.
I still like the show. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I don't know why I still like the show, but I still like the show.
Absolutely.
So, Hunters.
Hunters.
I watched episodes 4 and 5 back to back, and I wanted to watch episode 6 really bad.
Yeah, because you want to know what happened when she drove off at the end.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because we saw her in episode 2, I think, and we're talking about the nun, Sister Harriet, talking on the phone in German to someone, and it's like, oh, is she a spy for them?
Mm.
And then we get to episode 6. Well, I guess we're jumping around.
Yeah, let's go to episode 5 first.
4. Sorry, 4 and 5, not 6. Four and five. So episode 4 is the one with
bank.
The bank, yes.
It's John Noble.
And he was clearly a Nazi.
Yeah. And didn't really, like, he didn't come out and say he was a Nazi, but he didn't do a lot to hide it.
No.
You know, he like, his business card had the eagle on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And when Al Pacino's character, I can't give his name, Meyer, goes and talks to him twice, both times, he is, like, the first time he's sort of polite.
Yep.
And then the second time he's like, oh, just like a Jew to try and tell me how to manage my money at my bank. You know, yeah. Like, okay. But essentially, there's a reason they're trying to figure out why they have these safe deposit keys to this bank and why the Nazis are going to this bank. And so they find that, you know, they get into the safety deposit room and the boxes don't go that high.
Right.
So then they discover, well, there's another door and only this one person has the key and on and on and on. And Lonnie's got to have a threesome with this guy, with this woman and her husband, apparently.
Yeah.
Did he get an impression of the key?
Because he's trying to put on the charm because of the movie star. And he's like, oh, yeah, blow. And she's not buying any of it. No. And she's like, I'm married. My husband's a huge fan. And he's like, oh, okay.
And then cut to that night, he gets in the van. And he's like, I just had to do something. I didn't, you know, I said of a threesome with this woman and her husband. Yeah. I got the key impression. Don't worry. So essentially, as soon as they break into the bank, the alarms are going to go off. As soon as they open the door. And Harriet gets a job or pretends to be a cleaner.
Yep. A Russian cleaner.
A Russian cleaner, yeah. And lets them in. And then her and Lonnie, like, pretend that he's trying to rob the bank. So he's got her at gunpoint, and the guards show up with guns. And they're like, get back or I'll shoot her. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, and we'll go, I got the shot. You want me to take it? Oh, you got the shot. Oh, tough guy.
And then he starts cutting an anti-cop promo, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he, everybody, and you're only out for your paycheck, and you're not here to protect us.
And then Lonnie gets shot in the face.
Yeah.
I legit thought he was dead.
I did, too. I was like, whoa.
And then she dives down. Lonnie looks at his face. You see all the blood over his face and everything, and it's like, holy cow. And they're like, hey, she's in on it. Keep the guns on her, too, blah, blah, blah. And then she pulls the mob bucket and pulls out guns, and then they start shooting, and I'm like, what? She must have a vest on. Nope. Cut to, she switched their guns and they got blank, so she called them ghost rounds.
Yep.
And then
there's a big leverage vibe to this show.
Yes, yes, there was. And then, and then she's like, all right, Lonnie, you can get up. And then you finally see him breathing because he was holding his breath. End scene, and he stands up.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, we see, because the kid's back with them, and he wants to train. And so the Asian fellow, I can't think of their names, whatever, is training him and beating the crap out of him.
No, that's the next episode.
Oh, that is?
Yeah.
Because this is the episode where they just tell him to stay outside. And then when the one other guard gets the drop on the Asian fellow, that's when the kid runs in and tackles him. And then, you know, that's when they decide he's going to train him. I think that was the catalyst to it. Yeah. Well, essentially, they break into the that door. They get in there.
Because the kid figures out that there's a false wall behind the fake room.
Well, they get in there, and they open the safe deposit box, and there's nothing in it. They open up the...
Yes.
There's absolutely nothing in it, and they can't figure it out. That's when he's like, wait a second, the dimensions of the room don't match the dimensions of the blueprints. They find the fake door, and there's like a... almost looks like a submarine lid.
Mm-hmm.
And they go downstairs, and it's all the shit the Nazis stole is in the bottom of this bank, which is crazy to think about. And through this episode, we see the story of these two Jews. And one guy's designing the camps and for building, and then the girl's doing the tailoring.
Yep.
And he has this ring that was his grandmother's. We see his grandmother, his mother dying when he's a kid, gives him the ring. And then he has the ring, and then he gets showed up when they're making him strip naked and surrender to jewelry, so he swallows it.
Yep.
And then he throws it up and he holds on to it, and his name is Jacob, and he falls in love with Helen. And he wants to give Helen, and then he wants to help this. So he gets his buddy and her, and they're passing little kind of notes to each other, and they're going to escape. And it's a good plan.
It is.
Unfortunately, and he wants to give her the ring, and he shows her the ring, and he's like, well, I'll ask you later. And then a guard shows up. And so they speed away in the truck, but he stays behind and gets shot in the head. And now Jacob's dead, and the guard picks up this ring. And then we fast forward to this vault, and, you know, the ring's there, and you see it.
Yep.
And Meyer takes the ring with him.
Yes.
Because that's the one of the items he brings. Other than just the pictures he shows the bank manager, he shows him the ring.
Yes.
Yeah. That was powerful.
It was.
There's a lot of powerful moments in this show.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And, I really appreciated, you know, the John Noble is a great actor.
Oh, he really is.
I love seeing him.
I don't remember seeing him anything prior to Fringe, unfortunately.
Right.
But a shit ton of stuff since then that he's been amazing in.
Yes. Agreed. But yeah, I really appreciated the fact that, you know, they went into the whole heist aspect of it.
Yes.
And they had, like you said, I legitimately also thought that he was dead, that Long was gone. I was like, wow, they're down a person now.
Yeah.
That poor Josh Radnor, you know, only got a couple of, oh no, wait, they faked the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely felt like a heist. It felt like a episode of Leverage.
And Noble basically, and Meyer basically goes to Noble's character and he shows him the pictures and the ring. And he wants, and he's like, you know, you have this stuff in your basement. You're clearly a Nazi. You're covering for Nazis. And he wants information from Noble about Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he says, the Noble says something about Hoffman. He's like, he's been dead for 30 years. And he's like, ha, 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 no, he's not. And he stabs him through the hand.
Yeah.
And basically gets Noble's character telling that Hoffman, that this doctor, the wolf, is still alive. And Pacino leaves, Meyer leaves, and then we see, fast forward a little bit, Noble's talking like his wife on the phone. Oh, everything's great, I'll see you at home, and then shoots himself in the head.
Yeah. Yeah, he sets up this whole thing with his wife about, like, you know, oh, yeah, let's make sure that we do this, and then, bang.
I think it had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, he knew that they were going to kill him. Because of what he said. Because how he revealed information.
Yep.
We get to episode 5 now. All Night, All Birds Are Black. And we see Ruth. The wolf is mad at Ruth for not working with him.
Yep.
And so he starts taking it out of Meyer. And tortures the fuck out of him for 9 hours. Just carving him up. It's bad.
It was. And like... But this is what's interesting, you know, he does, you know, there's cuts, there's bruises, there's that claw thing. And now I'm jumping ahead here a bit, but the woman that they're interrogating later on, you know, as we're seeing flashes of this, she says to him, which, by the way, she was the lead scientist in 12 Monkeys, the TV show.
Nice.
She says to him, she calls him a liar. She calls him father of lies or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically implies that he is full of shit and he's not who he says he is. And as soon as she says that, he shoots her in the head.
Yes.
It was interesting because we're getting that interspersed with his tale of how he was tortured by this guy.
And we see the scars from the three things on his chest.
If that's what it really is.
But it's, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Because, all right, so Meyer, Foxy, and Radner, Josh Radner's character, Lonnie, they go see Tilda, this Nazi propaganda film director. Mm-hmm. And she's as a political consultant now. And then Sister Harriet and kid there, Jonah, and Joe. His name is Joe. Great. So Jonah, Sister Harriet, and Joe go to Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
To go hunt down this scientist, and they identify it's him because Jonah pretends to be a young Republican, gets him to sign a banner to keep the flags up all year round because it's 4th of July.
Yep.
And there's a big 4th of July party that night, and they go back that night, and while Jonah and Joe are supposed to be abducting him to take him away to torture him or get information from him, Joe has a Vietnam flashback based on the fireworks going off.
Yep.
Jonah manages to get the guy, and then Joe finally snaps to with Harriet, and they go in there. And basically he reveals, yeah, we're here because CIA brought us here to work for NASA. And there's a bunch of us here. And he starts naming names. They're Nazi names and they're American names.
Yep.
And then it cuts to this, and then they're about to torture him. They put a mask over his face with nose, goggles over his face and eyes and nose, breathing, what is it called? Snorkel in his mouth, and then tape it around his mouth. And they're about to pour water down it because they want to drown him like he drowned Jews.
Yep.
And then it cuts to this commercial for Huntsville, Alabama, and all you Nazis can come here. And everyone's like, I love the BBQ, but everyone's got a German accent. And, oh, the space program is here, blah, blah. And it's like, Huntsville, Alabama, it's really fucked up. And it's just like, what is this? Like a weird commercial in the middle. And then cut to, oh, now they're going to go back to drowning the guy. Uh-huh. Well, one of the names he says that's there gets Sister Harriet all up in a bundle. And she's like, I'll be back. And she walks off. And she even threatens to shoot Jonah if he doesn't get out of the way.
Yeah.
So she takes off. And she's looking for this one particular Nazi that the guy mentioned.
There's a group of people who are all watching the fireworks.
Like 50 people, 50, yeah. 60 people. Well, she runs into this other Nazi who's like, oh, no, my name's this. And she's like, oh, that's one of the other Nazis he mentioned. So he fucking shoots him. She shoots him right under his chin through his head and kills him.
Yep.
Keeps walking
pistol
with a silencer. And he's kind of by himself in the back. Yep. Keeps going, finds the guy that she's looking for. And then she whispers in his ear, whispers to him, I am so-and-so, like whatever, like the Juden. I've come closing in on you. We need to get out of here now. And she fought. I thought, oh, my initial thought is, oh, she's leading him away to kill him over here, mm-hmm. like away from everybody.
Right.
In the meantime, they're drowning this guy, and someone starts screaming, oh, my God, a dead body. And they're like, what the fuck? And Joe and Jonah's like, what the fuck should you do? So Joe just slits his throat and kills him.
Yep.
And then him and Jonah take off out, and they're trying to get out of there and head to the car. Just walk. Just walk. Well, that guy they just killed, his daughter recognizes Jonah from earlier, so that's probably going to come back in episode 6. And
although he's in New York, she's in Alabama.
Well, but as they get to the car, she drives away.
Right.
Sister Harriet drives away with this German, this Nazi. And Jonah's like, what the fuck's she doing? Joe's like, I don't know. Keep walking. Just keep walking. We got to get out of here.
Yep.
And they just keep going. That's kind of how it ends. Also in this episode, Millie, the FBI agent, she's still pursuing this lead, and she's interviewing people, and she tries to interview Jonah, but Meyer kind of interferes and prevents it for most part.
Right.
But she finds this reporter that did some story on Myers. And basically, it was like a year ago, Myers went to him and said, hey, there's Nazis here. And this reporter didn't believe him until he looked into it and saw that there was Nazis. And essentially, he found thousands of Nazis. But then he went to work one day, and there was child porn pictures at his desk. And then he went home after getting fired, and there was child porn pictures at his house. So his girlfriend, his whole life got ruined. Millie's kind of believing him, not believing him. She just keeps accusing him, trying to get a free meal out of him, et cetera, et cetera. She heads off to go to the bathroom. And while she's there, two guys beat the shit out of her, saying, "Stop asking so many questions. We're watching you. We've always been watching you, blah, blah, blah. You dyke." And they throw pictures down at her, which is basically they took a bunch of pictures of her and her girlfriend together.
Yep.
That was unexpected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't talk about Tilda eating horse manure, if you want to do that.
Yeah, they were interrogating her.
Yeah.
Wanted her to admit who she really was. And they tied her to a chair and said that she was full of, she spouted bullshit all the time.
Yeah.
So now, if she lied and spewed more bullshit, they were going to feed her bullshit.
Yeah.
And the first time she spit on Lonnie and he's like, "Oh, this is a silk shirt." You know, cause priorities. And, but they kept doing it and they kept like spoon feeding her and then they'd close her mouth and make her eat this horse shit. She had it like all in her teeth.
That was gross.
Yeah. Horse shit, bullshit, whatever.
Same.
They were feeding her animal excrement.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, you know, at the end there, she looked at Meyer and she was like, "And you, the king of lies." So I'm wondering if, like, he got tortured like that and then cut a deal. You know, maybe it was too much and he cut a deal and turned in, you know, turned on some of his fellow Jews. And
maybe. The American who works for them was kind of like always being there. He killed Jonah's friend. Mm. He's killed a bunch of people and he kind of does a lot of work for them. But there's the one German guy that hates him because he's American, treats him like shit.
Yep.
And he meets the American Nazi meets up with the Germans and he's like, "Oh, here, deliver this message. It's a really important job," and basically make fun of him, piss him off. Well, fast forward. Now that German and his two henchmen there, they're going to go, they have the trunk full of gasoline because they're going to go kill somebody. We don't know who yet. And then cut to Meyer and Roxy and Jonah coming out of the house and Lonnie coming out of the house after killing Tilda. And Meyer's guy turns his car on and explodes. They all survive it. But then we cut to that American and he opens the trunk to get the shotgun out because he's the one that's there. And there's two dead bodies in the trunk. So I don't know if he just killed the henchmen or killed all three of them, but I'm assuming just the henchmen. He's like, "Give me, you know, make fun of me, laugh at me, blah, blah, blah." Excuse me. And then they trade gunfire, but police show up, of course.
Yeah.
And everyone gets away. But that was pretty craziness.
The fact that he already had the dead bodies in the trunk was great.
Yes. I thought that was fantastic as well. But, I mean, obviously now Meyer's vehicle is there. It's been exploded. There's a dead body in the house. There was clearly gunshots everywhere. And we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
I wanted to turn on episode 6 really bad. I wanted to let it autoplay really bad last night because it was good.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I really wanted to see why the fuck Harriet drove off.
Yeah.
So
I'm hoping we get some background there. I'm thinking parent.
Oh, possibly.
You know?
Yeah, maybe. I didn't think of
parent or grandparent or...
I did finish season 2 of Bosch.
Okay.
Again, excellent show, excellent writing, good acting, good storytelling. You know, they I don't know, I enjoyed the hell out of it, and I'm looking forward to picking up season 3 at some point. I'm going to take a little break because I'm now, my main goal this week besides watching normal shows is watching Picard.
Good.
Yeah.
I look forward
to it. I saw episode 1, loved it, really want to start watching the other episodes.
Yeah, I've held off on watching the 2-part season finale because you had said you were going to start watching it. So now I will.
Yeah.
I assume this week you will watch all of it.
I'm going to try. It depends. I mean, it's already.
Well, keep me updated.
It's already 9 o'clock now, you know, and I do got to work from home the next 2 days. But then Thursday.
Where are your air quotes around the word work?
Yeah, I know. But then Thursday, I'm in the office, and I'm working in dispatch, so that kind of kills Thursday. But then I do have Friday and Saturday and Sunday nights.
So wait, so you've got Tuesday and Wednesday.
But I gotta watch our normal shows.
Working from home.
I gotta watch our normal shows as well.
Well, Stumptown's gone.
Well, that's true. This Is Us is gone.
Yep.
I gave up on Good Doctor, which is also gone.
So you've basically got Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
The Rookie.
The Rookie, Westworld, yeah. Hunters, yeah. Blacklist.
Yeah.
Blacklist.
Oh. Again, it was okay.
It was it fed right off the previous episode.
Yeah.
Now they've got the group who had the sarcophagi, and they were going to, you know, get together and sell them. And then, you know, it was a murder mystery of who killed this girl and this one and this one. And it was kind of lackluster.
Yeah, so it really was.
It was like, oh, it was.
And then we meet this new former love interest of Red's, and apparently they're going to run away together. But he's got one thing to do, which is go watch
Agnes.
Agnes's
Sleeping Beauty performance.
Yeah. And so he's watching from the wings. And she's dancing, and I kind of, as a parent, I was like, oh, this is pretty cute, because, like, you have Elizabeth and all her coworkers in the audience, and they're all wide-eyed, like, oh, my God, she's amazing, and then Denby's even, like, oh, on one side, and Red's on the other, and he's got this just big shit-eating grin and wide eyes, and the girl's behind him, and he's like, all right, I'm done, I have nothing tying me here, and she's like, well, maybe you don't have any obligations, but you want to be here, and so yeah. She walks off, and... Mm-hmm. And then, see, Elizabeth just seems so fake to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's like, you know, we have each other, you know. She doesn't seem sincere.
No. Because, so. Don't forget, she still has the secret that she knows her mom is alive.
Right.
Red doesn't.
Right.
So.
Well, Red doesn't know she's alive and won't tell Elizabeth that that's who it was.
Right.
And Red's not even really Red.
Right.
Did we ever find out who he really was? I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
So that leaves us with Westworld and then the other, you know, movies, trailers, news.
Yeah. So Westworld.
Westworld.
Good second episode.
Oh, solid.
You know?
Solid. Bernard goes back to Westworld because he basically wants to stalk Dolores. He's not sure why, but he wants to stalk Dolores. And
did it not look... when he gets to the outside of Westworld and it's like a big wall, were you just like...
Yeah.
It's kind of not what I pictured the outside of it to look like, a metal wall. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got to figure how else are they going to keep the whole park contained?
Right.
I guess that makes sense.
Right, yeah. But
he basically is looking for Maeve because mm-hmm. he's like, if anybody can stop Dolores, it's Maeve.
Yep.
Because she was smart enough, she reprogrammed herself, etc. Meanwhile, Maeve is stuck in World War II world, or as they call it,
War World.
War World.
Just War World.
Yep. And, you know, she sees Hector, and he takes her away, and she's thrilled. She's like, oh, my God, thank God. I'm not alone here. You know, I've got somebody else here. But then discovers after a little bit that he's just playing a part. He's just another host.
Yep.
So she's disheartened at that.
And her powers aren't working.
Her powers aren't working. So she knows how the game works, so she basically, you know, when they get captured at the end, she's like, no, none of this is real, so she kills herself.
Yep.
Wakes up on the operating table to a couple of the familiar faces that
yep.
are fixing her up, but they don't recognize her.
Or, okay, initially I thought they did, but they didn't want anything to do with her.
Well, yes, that's what I thought.
They were yeah.
like, ooh. Sneaks around, basically... She's having her own little adventure where she's trying to figure out what she's doing.
Yeah.
And it turns out that she's actually trapped inside a simulation because meanwhile, Bernard and the head of the security guards, turns out he was a host all along. He had one objective, which was to get everybody off the island. Then he shot himself.
Ashley.
Yes.
He was a guard there.
Yeah. He was the head guard.
Yeah.
And he shot himself in his neck trying to detonate himself, but he missed. So now he's kind of fucked up. Bernard fixes him and he's like, why the hell did you come back here? I had one mission. It was done. And now that you've come back here, I've got to make sure to get you out of this place. That's my one mission.
Yeah.
So Bernard's like, look, help me find Maeve. So they go down to the reject pile. They find Maeve, but the back of her head's missing and her memory is gone.
Yeah.
Core. They're like, wait, she's not here. So that's when we discover that Maeve is stuck in a virtual reality, essentially.
And while she's there, she leaves there.
Yes.
Former programmer, she's like, aren't you dead? You got shot many times. Nah, I'm all right.
Yeah.
And that's what leads her to discover, hey, where this is all simulation.
Yep.
And I think my favorite part is when she's on the tablet and she's going through and she's like, oh, they did this quickly and hastily and they used old data and tried to write over it. And she can basically see that her pearl or whatever it's called there, her thing, is like in a floating tank of water.
Yep.
Yeah.
She can see exactly where it is because she goes in through security cameras, hijacks a robot.
Yeah.
And puts herself in that robot and then picks up her pearl and runs with it.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
It was awesome.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, we've got Bernard and Ashley who are, you know, now you caught, I'm sure, if you hadn't seen the headlines before, you at least caught the Game of Thrones, the dragon that was in one of the rooms.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah. It was a nice little nod.
I saw that.
They were setting up another world.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool for HBO to do for themselves.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, they leave. And he's like, well, I got to go find her somewhere else. But then he reprograms Ashley. He's like, cease all motor functions.
Yeah.
Ashley freezes. And he's like, give new prime directive. Protect Bernard Shaw at all costs.
Yeah.
So now he's coming off the island with him.
But my favorite part is when Ashley comes back, he goes, you could have just asked for my help.
Right.
Like, he knew what he just did. You know what I mean? He puts it, he goes, because he's like, all right, well, I'll see you later. And he takes his gun out. I'll wait until you clear before I shoot my bomb in my neck.
Yeah.
And then he puts his gun away like, you could have just asked for my help. So I thought that was cool because he knew what he just did.
Yeah. So it was interesting because, you know, we left it on a cliffhanger in the first episode of, you know, Dolores falling down and everything that had gone on there. And we didn't go back to that at all in this episode.
So after Maeve steals her pearl and the android gets shot up, she wakes up again, but she's in a new world and she has a dress on and this and that. And she meets Sarek and...
who will always be the Night Fox from Ocean's 12.
Yes. And, you know, he was also one of the most recent Jason Bourne movies, he was like the operative for the CIA that's trying to kill Bourne. Anyhow, she thinks she's in another mystery world, but she's not. She's in the real world in a host body again, her host body. And kind of has her powers back. And basically, Sarek just says, like, look, I thought you were the threat to my system and everything like that, but it's not you. It's somebody else we never thought of. And she's like, oh, Dolores Abernathy. But then Maeve goes to stab him, and he freezes her.
Yeah. He doesn't say cease motor functions or anything. He just
pushes a button.
Yep.
And she freezes.
And he's like, you know, if I didn't put in kind of fail safes like this, that would make me an idiot. Yeah. So.
And that's kind of how it ends.
Yep.
And on my HBO, I watched through the end of the credits, and then it started a behind the scenes, this talking about, but I never got a next time on Westworld.
Oh, I did. It's going to be more about Dolores and Charlotte Hale. And that's what all of the headlines today have been. I haven't read any of the articles.
Who was Charlotte Hale?
Yeah.
But I figured because the first episode was about Dolores and establishing what she's trying to do. And then this episode's about Maeve and all this other stuff and more. And Bernard's the only thing that's been in both.
Yep.
And so I figured we had to get to Charlotte and Dolores again. And, Caleb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking about?
Yeah. Because he just met up with Dolores and she was, like, dying in his arms. Yep. So. Did you watch any movies?
Kind of. I watched one movie, but I watched two comedy specials. I watched that Brett Kreischer one that you told me about.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
I loved it.
I thought it was hilarious.
It was so great. In fact, it's funny because, you know, it's called Hey Big Boy.
Yeah.
And, you know.
His
daughter kept saying, Hey Big Boy, how's that working out for you? I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing because that's what people are doing.
Everyone has been.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I can't even look at Twitter without people talking about Animal Crossing.
Because it's fucking awesome. So anyway, when I'm fishing and I'm trying to, like, on rainy days, you can catch these massive monster fish. But you have to look at the shadows. And so I'll be running down the shore and I'll see one. I'll be like, hey, big boy. And I just immediately think of that. So,
What did you think of the whole gun joke, the big long build up delivery?
And he's like, you know, some of you are going to like this.
He goes, if you're a fan of guns, you're not going to like this. If you hate guns, you're not going to like this. Yeah.
Loved it.
The whole 20 minute bit was hilarious.
Yeah. I loved the whole thing, like the whole comedy special was good.
That hour went by so fast. Yeah. It's the first hour long one I've watched where I've actually got through it in one sitting because it hasn't bored me partially through.
I loved the story of the black barista.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
The final one where they're just like, and I walked in and everybody froze and they were just like, here. And that guy, he just started panicking.
Yeah.
And he got that look in his eye and he was like, room for cream? And I said, no, I don't want him to know his daddy.
Yeah.
And he fell on the floor.
And everyone goes, oh, you're right. Yeah, that was hilarious.
And,
then goes,
and that one white woman said, what did you say to him?
I told him I didn't want him to know his daddy.
I wish I could remember.
I wish I could remember the other ones, but yeah, Room for Cream. No, blah blah blah. Yeah, like, he's like, hey, you're that comedian, and he's like, and he calls him the wrong name.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. Oh, so he cuts that joke. Yeah, that was a Room for Cream. No. Yeah.
Well, based on that one, I watched another one that popped up there. It was called Tom Segura Ball Hog.
Oh yeah,
it was okay.
Did you watch the Mark Maron one?
Yes.
Was that worth watching?
The Mark Maron.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and watch that one. Yeah.
I want
to
watch that one again because it was good. Tom Segura, Ball Hog, it was okay. Yeah. I mean, it had some funny stuff, but for the most part, he's just a jerk.
My wife has been watching the Friends complete series. I got her on DVD a lot during the day. Mm-hmm. She takes a little break, whatever. And we started watching Lonesome Dove. The miniseries from 1989, it's still good. It really is still good. But at the end of part one, the Irish kid gets attacked by water moccasins in the river.
Okay.
Except there's like a whole herd of them or whatever attacking him. And I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure that's not accurate. So I Googled it, like, do water moccasins attack in groups? And I click on it, and the response to it, I kind of wish I had it on my phone. But actually, hold on. I can do it here on my laptop. Do water. Here we go. Attacking groups. Like, the very first thing that comes up is, okay. Oh, here we go. To begin with, water moccasins do not live as far south as the Nueces River. Moreover, they do not go around in poisonous swarms attacking humans and horses. Water moccasins are solitary, even positively antisocial to other snakes. They are known in the snake world for eating each other. You would never find a swarm of them together, much likely acting cooperatively to attack a man. I'm like, all right, yeah, that wasn't accurate.
Somebody watched that show
and got had pissed. Issues. And got pissed.
Was pissed enough to put pen to paper, yeah. Go on the internet and be like, look, motherfuckers. Look, motherfucker,
yeah.
Did you watch any movies?
I did watch one movie.
Yeah.
I watched Bloodshot.
I'm disappointed.
I enjoyed it.
No. I'm not disappointed at that. I'm disappointed because you said you were going to watch The Platform, which I watched, and I was looking forward to
discussing. I did not watch The Platform because a Saturday night, I watched Bloodshot with Kanan on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday night, Paul wanted to, he needed some humor and interaction that wasn't about work or coronavirus. And so he's like, can we just watch a couple matches together over the phone? Like, well, you know, queue up on the network. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So I figured he, after an hour, he'd be fine, or half an hour, whatever it was, a couple matches. So I was like, I'll do that with Paul. And then after that, I'm going to watch The Platform. I'm not complaining. 3 hours.
Wow.
3 hours of various matches on the WWE Mark. Here's the thing. We watched matches from 1985 to, like, 89.
Wow.
That was it.
In three hours?
Just various matches.
4 years and 3 hours.
Not every match in 4 years. Oh. We watched various matches.
Gotcha.
But still, it was just like, oh, no, we did watch one from 97.
Well, then I'm not going to go into details on The Platform.
Please don't, because I am going to watch it this week.
I will just say two things. One, it's dark.
Fucked up and dark, yeah.
And two, it's all subtitled. So yes. It can't be a background thing.
Right. You got to pay attention. Yeah. That's why my plan Saturday night, hour of wrestling with Paul, and then I was going to watch The Platform and go to bed. But then, and then Sunday night, I had to watch Hunters. Because I hadn't watched those yet.
That was me giving Mike a thumbs up.
Yeah. So, but I did. I watched Bloodshot.
And how was it?
I enjoyed it. I was genuinely surprised. It's based on a Valiant comic. It's their first comic book, I think, that's ever been made into a movie.
Okay.
And it's a good character for it. Vin Diesel is Vin Diesel. Whatever. But if you've ever read the comics, you know the story. He is a soldier who is killed, and then he gets this taken to a lab. His body's donated, and he is merged essentially with Nanites, which
totally not at all Universal Soldier.
No, because he's not. It's not.
It's not. I know it's not.
It'd be more of a combination of like T-1000 and Universal Soldier.
Or T-1000 and Robocop.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, so he's with these nanites. So if he gets shot, it hurts him and he gets injured, but the nanites repair him. And he bleeds, but the nanites repair him. And the blood is the nanites. It's kind of weird, but it's just the way the comic is.
Okay.
And it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. It went by really fast. 1 hour and 45 minutes. My son really enjoyed it. You know, unfortunately for them, coronavirus kind of killed the theater release because it got released on March 13th, and then everything got shut down not too long after that. So it didn't even make in the box office. It didn't even make its budget back. But you can rent
a lot of things right now.
No, but you can rent it at home. I just hope it doesn't, because you know, Valiant, this is really their first foray as a comic company into movies, and this they're really kind of banking on this kind of going big so they can get some other titles brought in there. And they didn't really set it up for a sequel, but they kind of set it up for a sequel.
Okay.
And there's some enjoyable characters in there, and I liked it a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah, I would give it a good recommendation for a viewing.
I will check it out. I was always planning on checking it out.
Over the first 3 days at home release, the film was the most watched on Amazon Prime and the fourth most watched on iTunes. So, wow. I mean, they're going to make some money there.
Yeah, they are. Provided people actually, you know, pay for the rental or pay for the buy and
right.
just download it illegally.
I did not download it illegally.
I didn't say you did.
I'm just making it clear
okay.
that I didn't. Someone else did. Anyways, joking. Maybe I'm not. It was a good flick.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
News. I already kind of said mine. October Faction and V-Wars were canceled. And they put G.I. Joe on YouTube.
Wonder Woman 84 was pushed back to August.
I thought we talked about that last week. But yeah, I did see that.
Ryan Reynolds is going to be starring in a Dragon Slayer movie.
Really?
Yeah, based on the old cartoon video game, you know, Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, Dragon's Lair, yeah. Yep. That's kind of cool.
Love it. Hobbs and Shaw 2 is in development officially.
No surprise.
Nope. And that was all I had for news. Trailers? I know I sent you a couple.
Yeah, I didn't send you any. I only watched the two you sent me.
Quibi, Most Dangerous Game.
You know, I think I'm going to have to get that. You get a 90-day free trial.
And they're 10 minutes each, 10 yeah. minutes or less for
everyone. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out, I think.
I saw a preview. I don't know if you'll even care about it, but Justin Roiland, the guy who does Rick and Morty,
yeah.
has a new series coming out in May on Hulu called Solar Opposites.
Okay.
It's very much similar
to that kind of
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's very similar to it. Basically, these aliens come to Earth and then fuck shit up, and it looks good. Hashtag Black AF.
Yeah. That looked interesting.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Very much making fun of essentially the director who did Blackish.
Yes.
And, you know, him being a sellout and other black people. And Rashida Jones is his wife, and she's like a mixed race. And her blackness is always called into question. But it's done like The Office or Parks and Rec. It's funny.
I'm looking forward to it. It's coming out on Netflix.
Yep.
April 17th, I believe.
Yep.
And they're half hour, 22 minutes each.
Yep.
So that makes it a fun, enjoyable
exactly.
quick watch. Yeah.
Survive the Night. I didn't even bother sending you this. It's Bruce Willis.
Is that an old movie?
No, this is a recent trailer, unless it was one that like was supposed to come out a while ago and just recently.
Formerly titled The Long Night. I think I must have seen that trailer.
Basically, these people, they're criminals. They kidnap his son because his son is a doctor, and he's got to patch them up. But they
yeah.
they corner him at Bruce Willis's house and take his family hostage. And then Bruce Willis is like, we're going to take him back.
Yeah. Bruce Willis is doing low-budget flicks now, people.
Yeah. Because he can.
Yeah.
And then the one that I sent you, Evil Little Things.
That just looks terrible. And I can't wait to watch it.
I was like, Mike is going to have a movie night with him and Johnny for this one.
It's essentially Puppet Master.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It's essentially Puppet Master meets Annabelle.
Yep. god awful,
and it looks terrible and awesome at the same time.
I was going to say exactly something that is right up your alley.
Yeah,
that's all I got this week.
Same here.
Cool.
I know you're not going to care about this, but I'm going to bring it up anyways. Johnny, we were talking about it the other day, and I reached out to a mutual friend of ours back in November about a VCR. Haven't heard anything. Reached out a couple more times. Hey, any word on that? Because he got back to me initially, but then not since then. So, however, my wife's cousin Johnny, I was talking to him about it, and he's like, oh, I got two VCRs down in my parents' basement. Really? He's like, yeah, I bought one. Jeez, I bought one just 15 years ago. He goes,
you know, just 15 years ago.
Well, I mean, they haven't been out in a long time. He goes, but I haven't used it in years. It's just down there. You can have it. And I goes, it doesn't have its remote. He's like, yeah. I'm like, sweet.
That was the selling point for you?
Well, no, kind of.
I don't want to have to get up and press play and stop.
Well, no, but like, how do you just, it's a pain in the ass to just tracking and do X, Y, Z. The remote is handy.
Tracking. Tracking, what the hell?
I know. So, because I have some old VHS tapes that I, you know, old wrestling ones that I can't watch any other way. So, I'm actually pretty excited about that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I played a game online of D&D over.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah,
how that Sunday.
It went really well, but right in the very beginning, Andy and I were talking.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, boy, we go back a ways, you know, it was Movie Gallery. You know, in the original. So, you know, we've known each other for over 20 years. And one of the kids there, Blake, who's playing with us, he goes, Blake, have you even had 20 years on this planet? I'm not even 20 years old. Fuck you, Blake. I'm like, so basically, we say Movie Gallery. You're like, what's that?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he wouldn't even know. I was like, it's like a Blockbuster. What's that? You know, it's that thing that they're making a documentary about because there's one left in Alaska. What's that?
It's in Oregon, I think.
I thought there was one left in
Bend,
Alaska.
Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. There was one in Alaska, and it shut down.
Yeah.
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 19 years old.
How do you play online? Is it like you just...
Well...
Are you playing online like through like say Skype, or is it an actual physical game you're playing that you play with friends online?
If you did it with Skype,
yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah.
But everything is digital on this. It's a platform called Roll20.
Okay.
And so, like, all of our character sheets are in there. So it's really kind of cool because I know you've done some D&D stuff.
I used to play a lot when I was
a kid. There's a grid map, and, you know, our tokens are on there, and Andy will be like, okay, look, here's a guy here that you can fight. And so we, like, drag our tokens over there and attack.
Roll20.net?
Yep. But even better than that is, like, you know, I'm going to shoot my crossbow. Okay, so you look on your attack thing, and it shows the crossbow that you have, and you just click on it, and the game rolls a die for you. And it shows you, like, what your attack roll was and what your damage was.
Does it cost anything?
No.
It doesn't look like it. I just didn't know, like, once
well,
you get in there.
There's a free option, and then there's a premium option. We're all just playing on free. But it has built-in voice and video chat. So, like, down in the lower left, we all have our little icons. But at any time, you could turn on your camera. But we were all doing voice chat the whole time. So I just had some sound-dampening headphones on.
I want to play.
I'll let you know if there's another game.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yep. We were originally supposed to go to there's a place in Portland outside the mall over by Macaroni Grill.
Yeah.
South Portland. It's called Distractions, and it's just set up for games and board games and stuff like that. And we were originally supposed to do that, and then, you know, this happened to the world, and so we're making do as best we can.
Kate and my two oldest kids played Monopoly on Sunday. Board game.
You didn't play?
Yeah, I said me, Kate, my
two
oldest kids.
Oh, I just heard you say Kate and the two oldest kids.
No, me, Kate, and the two oldest kids, we played Monopoly on Sunday. And they tried to... And
you're not divorced.
No, there was no fighting. We had a great time. There's no... I know. I was like, we'll play again because there was no fighting.
Did you play without money?
No, we did. I destroyed them all. But no, there was no fighting or yelling, and people were all good sports and this and that. And they were making fun of me because I bought all four railroads and the two utilities and the three light blue ones, and I put hotels on them. And I slumlorded the shit out of them until they all lost their money and properties, and then I won the game with everything.
Nicely done.
Because, like, they all have, like, Kate's got Boardwalk and Park Place, and Addison has all the yellows and the greens, and Kate's got, like, everything else, and, you know, they're like, we're gonna, why don't you have, you know, like, why, you know, why do you just have, look what you have for properties. How do you expect you're gonna win?
Don't worry about me.
That's right.
I've played this game once or twice. You know, oh, advanced token to the nearest railroad, pay me double, $400. Oh, you landed on one of my three hot zones, $550 or $600, please. Oh, you don't have it? I'll take them properties. Oh, let me put hotels on these properties now. Yeah.
Nicely done.
3-hour game.
Wow.
Yeah, and I wrecked them.
Wrecked them? Damn near killed them.
I hope. But yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Oh, well. Well, I guess that's it.
Yep.
I realized I was still recording, not going to lie.
On the Twitter machine, he's Superstar ML.
I am.
And I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
He is.
And we'll talk to you next week. Some way.
Somehow. Later.